Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, July the 15th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come to you again this day to continue the study of the things that we see happening around us, as we understand that all of this has been foretold and seen by you, and we can be given the strength necessary to stand. We ask for increased faith and increased courage, so that we might indeed be ready to meet all that is to come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I came across an article that I thought I should share with you today. It was published on June the 1st, 2020, and you will find it in the New York Times website. The writer of the article is Denise Liu. That's the last name is spelled L-U. Denise Liu. It's a rather interesting article considering all of the things that we've been hearing today about coronavirus and COVID-19. And I thought it would be useful if we could take a look at this article in the context of which it is given to us. Now, as I said before, you'll find it in the New York Times. And the writer of the article is Denise Liu, L-U, published on June the 1st, 2020. And the title of the article is, "There has been an increase in other causes of deaths, not just coronavirus." The title again, "There has been an increase in other causes of deaths, not just coronavirus." Here's the article. New York and New Jersey have had more than 44,000 deaths above normal from mid-March to May, according to a New York Times analysis of data from the CDC records. While COVID-19 is the leading cause of these excess deaths, more people have also died from other causes like heart disease, diabetes, and Alzheimer's disease in recent weeks than for the same period in previous years. Public health experts have said that many of these additional deaths from other causes may be undercounts of misdiagnosis of COVID-19 or directly linked to the pandemic otherwise. Here's a breakdown of excess deaths in the two states, which together account for more than 40% of the official coronavirus death toll in the United States. All numbers in the accompanying charts are rounded down either to the nearest 100 or, if below 100, to the nearest 10. Totals of the three areas are rounded down from the exact sum. And of course, the article gives you a chart here, which we obviously can't show you here. But we'll continue to read the article, and I would suggest that you take a look at that article. Let me give you the name of the article again. "There has been an increase in other death causes, not just coronavirus." And you'll find the article in the New York Times, published June the 1st, 2020, by Denise Liu, L-U. All right, continuing the article. Now, there's a subheading here which says, COVID-19 makes up more than 60% of excess deaths so far. According to the CDC, about 30,500 deaths were directly attributed to COVID-19 from March 15 to May the 2nd, the period for which the most recent comprehensive data is available. About half of the deaths were in New York City alone. But more deaths have also been caused by conditions that are common causes. Heart disease is one, the leading cause of death in the United States, saw a large surge in excess deaths. Over the same time, in New York City, deaths from heart disease were nearly three times the normal. About 800 deaths above normal have been attributed to diabetes. Research has shown that people with diabetes and heart disease are particularly vulnerable if they contract COVID-19. I would assume that a group of these are potentially undiagnosed COVID patients, said Thomas McGinn, an author of a study about clinical characteristics for patients with COVID-19 in the New York area. It's also possible that some patients with chronic illnesses, like heart disease and diabetes, may have chosen to stay home rather than risk exposure to the coronavirus by going to the hospital. Many doctors have reported a decrease in hospital visits for heart attack and stroke. If I had diabetes and it was barely manageable, and I had some episode that may normally require me to get urgent care, do I want to stay home and manage my diabetes, or do I want to go to a hospital and potentially contract COVID? Said Melody Goodman, a biostatistics professor at New York University. The pandemic's strain on the healthcare system is also forcing some to delay or forego treatment for illnesses not related to COVID-19. Some COVID-19 deaths may have been misattributed to other respiratory illnesses. Some deaths attributed to the flu, pneumonia, and other respiratory diseases might have actually been caused by COVID-19, especially earlier during the pandemic when coronavirus tests were hardly able to be available. And this is, of course, an opinion of a Dr. Goodman. Test X-rays from the virus and pneumonia look especially similar, for example, sometimes. The CDC data shows that flu deaths peaking much later than normal this season might also have been some of the causes for deaths. Usually the peak is in January and February. This year, deaths attributed to the flu spike in March and April, around the same time as the peak of the coronavirus pandemic. As you look at mortality rates as you move through February into March, anything documented as flu, you have to wonder, is it truly viral-tested flu, or just people thinking it was flu when maybe that was all COVID, Dr. McGinn said. Deaths from other respiratory diseases were also about 50% higher than normal. That would be deaths from chronic lower respiratory diseases, deaths from other respiratory diseases. More people also died of Alzheimer's disease than normal. Deaths from Alzheimer's disease, a common cause of death among seniors, were more than 60% above normal during the same period. I imagine that the care for people with Alzheimer's is being complicated by the epidemic, particularly given that this has ripped through certain nursing homes and that could be affecting the level of care that's being given, said Robert Anderson, chief of the mortality statistics branch at the CDC. Deaths from other causes have also spiked. That would include Parkinson's disease, dementia, and coronavirus other than COVID-19 are more than 25% above normal for this time. Deaths that are pending investigation are also included here. The CDC will ask states if some of the generic coronavirus deaths are indeed COVID-19, Dr. Anderson said. Determining how a person died can be subjective to a degree, so it's hard to say exactly how many of the excess deaths might be directly or indirectly linked to COVID-19. There's no completely objective way to do this, Dr. Anderson said. Even with autopsy, the cause of death may not be entirely apparent. Now, of course, this is an incredible article, and it gives you some thought, because if someone has a similar disease or someone is dying of a particular symptom, but they have a long-standing diabetic or some sort of other disease, it could have quite a susceptibility, leave them susceptible to the COVID-19, or perhaps to be evaluated as a COVID-19 when in actual fact that was not the case. I would suggest that you read this article for yourself, because you'll see some charts on there that, of course, I can't show you. The article is found in the New York Times. It was published on June the 1st, 2020. The writer of the article is Denise Liu, L-U. And the title of the article is, There Has Been an Increase in Other Causes of Death, Not Just Coronavirus. Well, there's a second article I'd like to share with you, and this one is found from the Science website. That's the Science website. It was published on May the 6th, 2020. The writer of that article is Kelly Cervic. That's Kelly Cervic, S-E-R-V-I-C-K. And the title of the article is Clinical Trials Press On for Conditions Other Than COVID-19. Will the pandemic's effects sneak into their data? The title again, Clinical Trials Press On the Conditions Other Than COVID-19. Will the pandemic effects sneak into their data? Here's that article. Myron Cohen has run clinical trials through hurricanes and civil unrest. Now the infectious disease researcher at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, says he and his colleagues are in a new situation, trying to carry out large international trials in the midst of a coronavirus lockdowns. Cohen co-leads a network of HIV prevention trials, some of which have paused during the pandemic. But for other studies, he says, stopping would be a grave consequence to participants. So study teams have bought and shipped protective equipment to personnel at clinical trial sites, secured special permits where necessary for trial participants to leave their homes for medical visits, and arrange their private transportation to avoid public buses. Not all clinical trials have had to go through such logistical gymnastics, but across diverse fields, investigators have managed to keep treating patients who might benefit from experimental therapies. Slowdown and pauses in recruiting new participants will delay results, but for many studies, data is still flowing in. Now, research teams are contemplating the ways the pandemic may insert itself into their trial results. Could changes induced by the pandemic, including less consistent follow-up visits, reduced movements, poorer mental and physical health, or infections with the novel coronavirus itself, blur the statistical signals of a treatment's risk and benefits? So in other words, what they're saying is, they have been experimental with treatment now for a while, but all of a sudden, you've got this global COVID-19, and they're wondering, is this having an impact on our experiments? Are people catching this, or is it sneaking into their bodies so that when we read the statistics now, are we seeing what we were looking at before? Or are we getting some of the COVID-19 included? That's a rather interesting thought, and that's why I'm sharing it with you today. Continuing, we're all going to have to plan for how we account for the impact of COVID, says Janet Dancy, a medical oncologist at Queen's University in Kingston, Canada. Many concerns remain hypothetical. Until researchers finish collecting and analyzing their data, they won't know whether coronavirus-related disruptions will undermine their results. But I'm worried about it, Dancy says. Though medical centers around the world have shifted staff and resources to COVID-19, they also continue to bring in patients with other life-threatening diseases. Many institutions have stratified their ongoing clinical studies and halted any in which patients didn't stand to benefit directly. But for many cancer patients, participating in a clinical trial can provide the best available treatment, says Monica Bertinelli, a cancer researcher at Harvard Medical School. Everybody who is already on a clinical trial is there because they have cancer or some serious condition, and this is a really important part of their treatment, she says. You don't want to deny that to the patient. So in other words, now what she's saying here is that you've got some other patients who are already in trial, already on a special treatment. They've got cancer. They've got something else. But with all of the COVID-19 sweeping around and all of the movement of some of the, the medical staff, that you've got to transfer them from what they're doing into something else. Is that having an effect on these people and their illnesses? Continuing the article. The Alliance for Clinical Trials in Oncology, which conducts clinical trials across the United States and Canada, has not withdrawn any participants from treatment during the pandemic, says Bertagnoli, who chairs the organization. But she adds, I won't say that the treatment hasn't been changed a little bit. In some cases, the pandemic has delayed imaging appointments and biopsies that can guide treatment plans and gauge how a tumor is changing. As a result, researchers might not be able to document how much a cancer has grown or spread at the exact time points specific in the trial design. I'm already seeing many more deviations, said Howard Burgess, an oncologist and chief medical officer at Sarah Cannon, the Cancer Institute of HCA Healthcare, and president of the American Society of Clinical Oncology. He's optimistic that small data gaps won't change big picture trial results. However, in a randomized trial, those things sort of sort themselves out, he says. I think we'll be able to adjust. So what he's saying here again is because of the pressure on the medical institutions and the medical places, there are people who have to be moved around or equipment that has to be used in other ways. And they are not always able to read the results of their trials in the way they would normally read them. And therefore, might be the cause of losing some of those patients. Continuing. I also wish to receive emails from AASC Science and science advertisers, including information on products, services, and special offers that may include, but are not limited to, news, career information, and upcoming events. All of this will help us as we continue to take a look at the events that are taking place around us. And we would enjoy having the information shared with us. But trial data might become muddied if some participants are sickened by the novel coronavirus or die from it. Presumably, SARS-CoV-2 infections would be distributed randomly between the study's treatment and control groups, but they could still make it harder for researchers to pick up signals of benefits or to disentangle negative side effects of the experimental treatments. If there are competing causes of death that are going on, then it will be harder to show differences in outcomes. It reduces our power. Other effects of the coronavirus pandemic on trial participants might be more subtle. For example, the results of HIV preventional trials depend in part on participants' risk of contracting the virus, Cohen notes. And social distancing orders that limit intimacy might change that underlying risk. The researchers will have to take into account the fact that getting an experimental drug was far from the only change in participants' lives over the course of the trial. Trials focused on mental health could face other complications, said Lynette Averill, a psychologist at the Yale School of Medicine, who is studying the anesthetic emetic as a potential treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder. A global pandemic where you're isolated and potentially have fears of you or your family being ill, those things are highly stressful and potentially traumatic, she says. This experience may be significant enough that there has to be some sort of analysis of the pandemic effect. We may, in fact, have entirely different cohorts pre- and post-pandemic. Now, one of the reasons why I'm sharing this article with you, and I also wish that you would read this for yourself, because what the point that this lady is making here, she's saying, even with the matter of the psychological impact of that post-traumatic syndrome that most soldiers have when they come back from battle, even being isolated in your home could be the cause of extra stress, which would cause the misreading of some of the impact that all of what you have gone before would have on your mind. I thought that it is so revealing, the impact that COVID-19 is having upon patients who do not even have the COVID-19. Even those who are experiencing post-traumatic syndrome issues, even those who have hypertension and who are in the hospital, even those who have not yet caught the disease, but because of the environment and because of the pressures that have been placed, not just on them, but the pressures that are placed also on those medical people who are treating them, the impact that all of this can have. It is rather revealing. And you would not have thought that this would have spread itself as far as it has. But based on the articles that we read today, we can see how COVID-19, in spite of the fact that it has killed so many and has caused sickness in so many, the impact of it goes beyond just those that it has killed and those who are suffering with the disease itself, but others who are around and a part of the environment in which we live. The second article is found in the Science magazine. It was published on May the 6th, 2020. The writer of the article is Kelly Cervic, S-E-R-V-I-C-K. And the title of that second article is Clinical Trials Press On for Conditions Other Than COVID-19. Will the pandemic effect sneak into their data? We've been told in God's word that there will be illnesses. As a matter of fact, we've been told that Satan has studied the laboratories of nature. He blows upon the ear and all kinds of diseases spread abroad and thousands perish. But you and I know and are aware of all of what we see happening here. And we know that this is just the beginning, that this is going to become even more intense as time progresses. God is calling us today to accept his word and to stand with him because he has promised to protect us from harm and danger. And we know that if we trust in him and allow him to guide us in all that he does, all that he says, that we will indeed be protected by him. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn us, that you continue to inform us, that you continue to protect us. Today we place ourselves in your care, asking that you would continue to guide us in the path of righteousness and allow our lives to be led by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, July the 15th, 2020.